This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's that time. Time to join Johnny Rabbit. And we're going back to my birth year, I believe. Good morning.
Yes. You're right, Scott. Thanks. I'm going to report this as if we were in 1970. That's 99 years after the city of St. Louis had swallowed the city of Carondelet. And we see that the Carondelet Historical Society has erected an 8-foot-tall aluminum marker in Belle Reve Park commemorating the centennial. And to show Carondelet's colorful history, too, which went back to 1767, the history was written by Frank Hilliker of Compton Heights. In Carondelet, that horse trough at the triple intersection of Ivory, Shermer, and Virginia, that's a planter these days, and nearby businesses include, in 1970, Carondelet Interiors with a big neon sign for Norge Washers and Dryers. Oh, there's Herman Doering's Bakery, too. A great place. Little has changed in these corners that kind of offer an inner peace and a perspective in times past, our place and time today, and a feeling that little is going to change in the future. Well, here in 1970, we recall it was 11 years ago that the mayor of St. Louis, Ray Tucker, a Carondelet resident, who with former Mayor Barney Dickman looking on, turned the first spade of earth for the Gateway Arch. In our downtown of 1970, it's been 9 years since the first building was torn down to make way for the triple-towered Mansion House Center that opened in 1966. The two principal buildings knocked down were the 67-year-old 18-story Landreth building at 4th and Olive, the 70-year-old 10-story Rialto building at 4th and Locust. Each of the high-rise Mansion House towers, 28 stories tall. And it was just 5 years ago, in 1965, that the arch opened. And at that time, the 12-story 1897 Fullerton building at 7th and Pine was raised for an ugly parking garage. The Fullerton was named for its developer, Joseph Scott Fullerton, a noted Civil War Union Brigadier General. Oh boy, under the guidance of Mayor A.J. Cervantes, the Spanish Pavilion was moved to our downtown at Broadway and Market. The place was a hit in 1965 at the World's Fair in New York. A.J. convinced backers it'd be a hit here. Here, the pavilion was home of the gourmet Toledo Room that proclaimed it was the most expensive restaurant in St. Louis. It was, but it wasn't very good. To compete with the American Theater, the Spanish Pavilion had the Sir John Falstaff Theater. The main thing the pavilion didn't have was the expected 2.5 million attendees in its first year. Unfortunately, after 11 months, from May 69 to April 70, it drew just 450,000 visitors. The New York Times said it was a fiasco, and everyone here knew it was a flop. And before it was open for a year, it went bankrupt and closed. Of course, here in 1970, we had a lot going on. The J.C.'s had geared up to celebrate the sesquicentennial of Missouri statehood. Rawlings was making baseball gloves at Delmore and Jefferson. Ray Rixman, one of the Dodge boys in the white hats, had customers rolling out of his showroom on North Broadway in Baden, and cars like the 1970 Dodge Swinger sold for $22.45. Burberry Delivery was in their 47th year of carrying Post-Dispatch papers all over. White Castle had been in business 50 years. I just clipped a coupon from the Globe Democrat that'll get me 10 White Castles for a buck. Our first White Castle opened in 1925 on South 18th Street across from Union Station. It was torn down at 32 to help make way for the post office. Here in 70, 20-year-old Ozark Airlines slogan was, "Up there with the biggest." One of my earliest jobs was working in the Ozark Hangar and Headquarters as assistant purchasing agent back when they flew the old DC-3s. Well, before most of our clothes were made in other countries, we had places like Curly Clothing at 10th and Washington. In 1970, they'd been suiting the nation for 69 years. An aromatic place downtown was Richard Palazzolo's Italo American Importing Company in the 500 block of Franklin. Oh, and Teutenberg's. They opened a bakery at 2nd and Walnut in 1812. Also in 1970, nightlife had made it a sleepy Clayton with places like the Gazebo Room and the Colony Hotel, the Mainlander Polynesian Restaurant, the Top of the 230, the Leather Bottle in the Famous Bar parking garage, and the Mayfair West in the Rec Bar and the Clayton Inn. Back in St. Louis, a fun place is the Gay 90s Melody Museum on Broadway across from the stadium. Cinerama, it moved from the Ambassador to Martin Cinerama on Lindell. And for music, the St. Louis Ballroom, which had been the Casa Loma at Iowa and Cherokee. Dance music from bands like Dick Renna and Art Wilbur. Okay, we leave 1970 with this note that at 10:30 Tuesday, April 22nd, I'll have a program for Oasis called Whatever Happened To. It's about people, places, and things of the past. For a seat, contact stloasisnet.org or just show up. And next Sunday on KMOX, we will visit 1980.